I hope this morning you'll agree that our study through the book of Acts has been fruitful, it's been productive, it's been informative. We come this morning to Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. This morning we're going to think about our potential because we have great potential. This passage doesn't get much attention. So I want us to change that some this morning. As we look at it today, we're going to discover that we who follow the Lord have immeasurable potential, great potential. Almost 45 years ago in 1972, when our space program was in its infancy, NASA launched an exploratory space probe named Pioneer 10. Its primary mission was to reach Jupiter, which is the fourth planet in our solar system. It's also the largest planet in our solar system, the one that lies out just beyond Mars. It was to take pictures of Jupiter and of its moons and send those pictures back to Earth. It was to beam data back to the Earth about the planet's magnetic field and radiation belts and atmosphere. Scientists regarded this a bold venture because up until then, no spacecraft had gone beyond Mars, and they feared the asteroid belt of Jupiter would destroy the craft. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and much, much more. When Pioneer 10 swung past Jupiter, they kind of miscalculated the effect of the gravity of this enormous planet. And what it did was it got a hold of Pioneer 10 and just slung it like a slingshot, boom, way faster than it was going out toward the outer extremities of our solar system. And so what happened was it went way beyond what the scientists were hoping for. As Pioneer 10 got 1 billion miles away from the sun, it started sending back information about Saturn, big plus. And as it got 2 billion miles away from the sun, it started sending back information regarding Uranus. And as it got 3 billion miles out, sending back information regarding Neptune, scientists just drooling at their mouth. As it got 4 billion miles out, it sent back information about Pluto, pictures, all kinds of information. It just kept on going, like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, it went as far as 8 billion miles out away from the sun, continuing to send back information all the way up to November of 2003. That was 30 years after it was launched. Leon Jaroff wrote this in Time magazine. Perhaps most remarkable is the fact that those signals emanate from an 8-watt transmitter that radiates about as much power as a bedroom nightlight and takes more than 9 hours to reach Earth. So here you have engineers who designed Pioneer 10 with a useful life of only 3 years. Pioneer 10 was not designed to do what it did. It was not expected to do what it did. It was not engineered to do what it did. And yet it did it anyway. It did it anyway. It kept on keeping on. Who knew Pioneer 10 had such potential? Here's my point. Whenever a person gives their life to Christ, everything changes. When a person gives their life to Christ, their potential increases exponentially. But we don't realize it. We don't know that our potential has been increased. We're kind of like little goldfish raised in an aquarium that's cut in half by a glass wall. Little goldfish gets accustomed to surviving over there in just half the aquarium. But if you take out the glass wall, now its potential is doubled, but the goldfish will continue to limit itself to that half of the aquarium where it grew up. That's the way we are as Christ followers. When we give our lives to Christ, all the glass walls are removed, all the glass ceilings are removed, and yet we continue to live in the little bitty confinement of all those who've not given their lives to Christ. We need to increase our understanding of our potential to match that which has been given to us by our Father. And I think this passage helps us do so. So let's think this morning about our potential. And let's begin with our individual potential. Let's look at our passage now. Acts chapter 5, first half of verse 12. Many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles. All 12 of the apostles. Down to verse 15. As a result, they, the people, would carry the sick out into the streets and lay them on beds and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. In addition, a multitude came together from the town surrounding Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. They were all healed. This is pretty impressive stuff. They were impressed by it back then. We're impressed by it here today. I'm impressed with it. I hope you are also. It's impressive to read about. But I don't want to focus on the miracles. I mean, they're remarkable. I don't want to focus on those. We don't want to burn our energy and our time up thinking about the miracles. What I want to do instead is I want to focus on the author of those miracles. I want to focus on God. And I want to focus on His part in that which we're studying here this morning. Here's the point. God can do great things through us. He can do that. God can do that. God can do great things through ordinary people. He can do great things through me. He can do great things for you if you give your life to Christ Jesus. God has not changed. He did great things through these 12 ordinary men, and He can do great things through us today too. That's what I'm talking about. As individuals, our potential has been ramped up significantly. You think about this. 3 years prior to this passage we're looking at here this morning, just 3 years, these 12 men were nobodies. I mean, there was somebody to their family and stuff, but they were nobodies. They were fishermen. One of them was a tax collector. But, they were just faces in the crowd. Nothing special about them at all. But now, in our passage this morning, there's nothing ordinary about them at all. Great things are being accomplished through them. Remarkable things are being accomplished through them. But they're not doing it. Do you understand this? They are not doing it. God is doing it. The only thing that's changed here is their relationship with the Lord. When their relationship with the Lord changed, oh my goodness, things started going on in this world through these 12 ordinary men. I think all of us want to be that way. I think all of us want to be all we can be. I think God's wired us that way. I've talked with people over the years and I've confirmed this. I know it's true. Every one of us here today, in fact, every human on the planet has this inner yearning to be greater than ourselves. Every human feels limited. All of us realize we've been created to be more. We're created to be bigger. We all know that. So this message on potential is an important message. Ernest Hemingway was asked to write a 6-word story. He was such a great author, he was asked to write a 6-word short story. Famously, he wrote these 6 words. for sale, baby shoes, never worn. You know, that's quite a story. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. I mean, we just conjure up all kinds of images in our mind. Now, those words become famous. They've become legendary. That inspired an online magazine to ask the question, if you had to summarize your life in just 6 words, what would they be? The site received so many responses that the website almost crashed. So many responses. In fact, these responses were used to put together a book entitled Not Quite What I Was Planning. By the way, that's 6 words. Not quite what I was planning. Here's some of the entries. Now count these words in each of these. Each one of them has 6 words. One tooth, one cavity, life's cruel. The psychic said I'd be richer. 6 words. Here's one of just 5 words. One long train to darkness. Well, that person's leading a sad life. Tombstone won't say had health insurance. That could have been written today, I guess, couldn't it? Here's one from a 9-year-old boy. Cursed with cancer, blessed with friends. Amen. But here's the revealing one, and this is the reason I'm sharing this with you here this morning. Thought I would have more impact. Do you hear the disappointment in that person's life? Thought I would have more impact. Here I am, perhaps I can see the end of my trip. I can see the end of my life. And I thought I would have done more. I thought I would be more. I thought I would have had more influence on the world, more influence on life. I thought it would have had more impact. I've got this potential, and I know I do, and I wasn't able to reach it, and I'm bummed out about it. That's who we are, and that's where we are. We know we have potential. And I'm just saying to you here this morning, if a person wants to reach their potential, they need to give their lives to Christ Jesus. Jesus is the author of life. Jesus is the only one who can take a person and grow them into their potential. Not only can he remove the glass wall and the glass ceilings, he can expand a person into that potential. That's what he did with these 12 men. They had nothing. They had nothing to offer. And yet Jesus turned them into icons, and he can do the same thing with us. What Jesus can do in one life, he can do it in any life. Are you with me? Individual potential, way more than we realize. Let's talk some about congregational potential. We see that also here in our passage. This is interesting. Look with me, beginning in the middle of verse 12. By common consent, they would all meet in Solomon's colonnade. None of the rest dared to join them. In other words, not those who were committed followers of Christ, but those who were not committed followers of Christ. They would not dare join the others there. But, even though that's the case, people praised them highly. Let me point out a few things that you probably noticed as we read through that. First, they were unified. Verse 12 says, by common consent, they would all meet in Solomon's colonnade. It seemed to be their preferred meeting place. We see the meeting there at least 3 times in the book of Acts. It was just inside the eastern wall of the temple. It was in an area referred to as the women's court, a big area, great big area. Had 27-foot tall columns holding up a roof made of cedars from Lebanon. Great big area. Great big area. And that's where they all agreed they wanted to meet. They met there together, provide enough space for all of them to sit, and sing, and pray, and listen to the apostles as they taught. Quite a large group of people. We don't know how many there are, but we've seen as we've read this far as they're being added. So there was room there for all of them to sit. And I think one of the things we need to recognize is it's communicated here, but it's communicated even more so in many other places. These folks were all together. They were unified. Different ages, different ethnic backgrounds, different financial situations, different socioeconomic classes. But all these people, many, 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 many of them, all there together, unified. Unified. Another thing, they were unique. No other group quite like them. They stood out like an elephant in the room, or they stood out like 1,000 elephants in Solomon's colonnade, I guess is a better way to say it. You know? Prior to this, it's just the women's court, people just going, coming, great big area. But now you got this enormous group of people meeting in there regularly. Wow, look at those folks. Something different about them. Something different about them. Not only unique in number and assembly, they were unique in character. This was a committed group of followers. There were no B&Os in this group. B&O by name only. There are always people who want to be part of that group, but they're not committed. They're kind of shallow, have shallow commitment. You know? There were none of those folks. In fact, if you look down there in verse 13, none of the rest dared to join them. You know why none of the B&Os wanted to go over there? All those folks over there, they're all committed to Christ Jesus. They're committed to the church. They're committed to the, you know what? They're committed to the leader of that group, who is the crucified Christ. This crucified, we saw him being crucified. And they claim this crucified Christ is communicating with them. They claim this crucified Christ is leading them and directing them. They're worshiping this dead man. Woo! Mysterious. That's a mysterious bunch over there. Plus, if you look back down there, they had seen what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. You know? Here's a couple of folks who were B&Os by name only. They had kind of in a superficial way tried to mislead the church. In a superficial way, they tried to mislead this crucified Christ. They dropped dead. Man, not going over there. Not part of that group. So what you have there in Solomon's court are many, 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 hundreds and hundreds, hundreds, thousands of very committed, sincere Christ followers. And the rest of the folks, too nervous to be over there. But that leads, interestingly, to this third thing, is they were admired. See there in verse 13? But the people praised them highly. I'll tell you what I think of when I read this, kind of a smaller, perhaps, microcosm of what I'm talking about. You know, are these videos that seem to circulate on YouTube around the holidays of flash mobs. It's kind of becoming less of a fad, but flash mobs, you know what I'm talking about? There'll be a crowded mall and people going, coming, everybody looks the same, no one really stands out. But then someone, they usually pick some little wisp of a girl, you know, begins just belting out singing. And people just stop and look at her like, what is wrong with you? And then another one begins singing. Then a third one. Then somebody up on the balcony begins singing. And before you know it, there are just people everywhere singing. And, you know, instruments might join in. And everybody just looks at them in awe. And, you know, they're looking at them like, that's pretty. You know? Obviously, you all are together. Obviously, you all know each other. You're unified. And you're unique. I mean, I can't sing that way. I don't know those words. So, you're together and you're unique. That's kind of the response people have when they're looking at the flash mob. No one else would dare join into that music. At the same time, they're all greatly admired. You can tell by the faces of people as they're listening to this flash mob. People really think highly of them. You all are great. That's the way these early followers were. You couldn't distinguish them from everyone else as they were just milling around there in Jerusalem, but they all got together. You could tell they belonged. You could tell they all had the same spirit. You could tell they were all unified. They were a unit. You could tell they belonged. And they were unique. They were unique. They're all worshiping this crucified man named Jesus Christ. But at the same time, they were admired. Everybody kind of aspired. Whoa, those are great folks over there. So you have this congregational potential, which is obvious in our passage. That's who they were. You know what? That's the potential we have also. And I think this is where I want to bring us. We have that same potential. We have that same congregational potential. As people look at us, they should see people who are a unit. As people look at us, they should see people who are a little bit weird, a little bit odd. When people look at us, they should see people that are a little bit unique. They really believe Jesus is alive. They really do. Those people really believe the crucified Christ leads them, guides them. They really believe that over there. I like them. I like them. Congregational potential leads to this last thing. We'll call it evangelical potential. Look at verse 14. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, crowds of both men and women. You know, every time I see one of those flash mob videos, I notice non-participants standing around looking at those who are singing. Especially if one erupts right there next to them. It's like, oh, man, you can really sing. You know, you are really good. But the look on their face is, you know what? I wish I was one of them. I wish I was part of that group. They're making such beautiful music together. I wish I was one. I'd like to be one of them. If I could sing, I would sing. Or if I knew the words, I would sing with them. But I can't sing, and I don't know the words. And I know this feeling personally. If I were to begin singing with a flash mob, they'd all leave. So, you know, there's this admiration, there's this desire. I want to be part of that group. I want to be like you. That's what was going on. What we see here is a genuine commitment to following Christ is contagious. The joy is contagious. The peace is contagious. The strength is contagious. The commitment is contagious. The confidence is contagious. The sureness, the plan, the confidence in life's path, all of that's contagious. People see that, and they're drawn to it. Just like they are the singers in a flash mob. We have so much evangelical potential right here in Pflugerville. If we could just let our commitment to Jesus shine every day, with everyone, everywhere, wherever we are, just letting it shine forth. And of course, we get that strength from each other. Several years ago, Pastor Wright brought home one of those little rubber band operated helicopters. It's made out of balsa wood or bamboo or something. Have you ever had those where you wind up the propeller, you go round and round and round, this big rubber band gets tighter and tighter and tighter and starts knotting up. It's so tight, and then you let it go, and the propeller spins, the thing goes up in the air and floats around for a minute, but then crashes back, to the ground. You can only do that a number of times until the little helicopter breaks. Well, of course, that's what Pastor Wright's two boys did. They just used it until it just finally wore out and it broke. Most people perhaps would have just gone on to another toy, but these two brothers didn't do that. They were fascinated by this, and they were drawn to it. They They became consumed with it. They became enthusiastic about it, improving it, making better and better and better models. And this went on for years and years, and they were consumed with enthusiasm for it. 25 years later, they built a horizontal version. Instead of a vertical version, a horizontal version of this helicopter. On December 15th, 1903, Wilbur Wright watched his brother Orville as he went airborne for 12 gravity-defying seconds in the first gas-powered pilot flight in history. The enthusiasm of these two preacher's boys was contagious. People were so drawn. This was not just a fluke. This was a big deal. They were drawn to the enthusiasm of these two boys. And I want to tell you, here we are all these years later. Right now, at this very moment, there are 5,000 passenger planes floating up there in the air, carrying more than 1 million people. Listen, there are more than 1 million people flying right above our head, going 300 miles an hour, 30,000 feet in the air. Enthusiasm did that. Enthusiasm did that. Enthusiasm is contagious. It was contagious then. It's contagious now. We go through life not reaching our potential. We're yawning through life. We're never reaching what God has created us to be. We're yawning through life. People aren't drawn to yawns, people. Not. Nobody cares about a yawn. But everybody is drawn to enthusiasm. We have evangelistic potential beyond our wildest imagination. How much time do you have left before you pass? I'll tell you how much. You don't know. You don't know. Your arteries might be clogged right now. There may be a flake of something waiting right now to go to your brain. There's no telling how much time you have left. There may be a car accident coming. We never know how much time's coming, but here is where these people were. They were facing Nero and the lions in the Colosseum. But you know what their commitment was? Their commitment was, however much time I've got left, man, I'm going to give it 100%. I'm going to give it 100%. People are going to know who I'm with. People are going to know who I belong to. People are going to know I'm on fire for Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, they attracted people from all over the Mediterranean. Here we are today, the products of their enthusiasm, and the best we can muster is a yawn. We are unified. We are unique. We are admired. And people, if we'll show who we belong to, folks are drawn to us. Let's reach our potential. Amen? Pray with me.